Well, thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you also to the Foundation of Science and Technology and to the Royal Society of Edinburgh for the opportunity to speak to you today. I am a chief executive of one of the Big Six. I was wondering how long it would take before they were got a mention. I'm sure we'll come back to energy bills and our behavior in the markets, but what I'd like to start with today is some general context about energy today in the world. And then I will come back to Scotland and talk about three things: Scotland's energy position today, the North Sea and oil prices, and the use of energy, and some rather exciting changes that are happening in the use of energy, which might help us all. So starting first of all with the energy context, the world spends $7 trillion a year on its energy, and that's before investment to change it. That's 10% of the world's GDP. Not surprisingly, it's quite difficult to change the energy system. It took 150 years to move from wood to coal. It took 150 years to move from coal to oil and gas. And if we try and change the thing too quickly, it's going to be expensive. Notable examples are all over the place where trying to move too quickly has had unintended consequences, such as Germany and potentially the UK. Everyone's trying to balance three things: security, climate change, and affordability. In terms of affordability and competitiveness, Europe has had a particularly challenging position. We have energy costs twice those of the United States and labor costs twice those of Asia. That should worry us all. Affordability is therefore key in how fast we move and which changes we make. So with that as just a general background, let's turn to Scotland. My first message is that Scotland's starting point is an advantaged one in terms of security and climate change, but we must be mindful about affordability. Taking each of those in turn, on security, obviously Scotland's a major energy exporter. We produce 67 million tonnes of oil equivalent of energy. Now, that's a funny unit, but that's how a lot of people aggregate energy when talking about it, 67 million tonnes, and we only consume 15 million tonnes in Scotland. And when you take into account losses of 10 million tonnes, that means that there's still 42 million tonnes available for export. To optimise its energy, Scotland also imports and exports another 25 million tonnes, largely in the form of natural gas. This picture is dominated by the production and exports of oil and gas from the North Sea. Scotland produced 94% of UK oil and 51% of UK gas in 2014. And I'll come back to the North Sea in a moment. But Scotland clearly has security in the matter of its energy, and that's before we talk about some of the other aspects, such as hydro and unconventionals. On climate change, the second area, in terms of consumption, Scotland's consumption of energy is about 35% oil, mainly for transport and petrochemicals, 40% natural gas, mainly for domestic heating and industry, 20% electricity, and 5% other things, including biogas. Now, of Scotland's electricity production, about a third is nuclear, and about a third is renewables. And so when you combine it with the natural gas use for heating, Scotland's lower carbon content of its energy consumption is very high already. Scotland has a good chance of meeting its 2020 goals, of delivering 30% of consumption overall coming from renewables and 100% of electricity being renewable sourced. Finally, on climate change, the real problem for everyone in the world is unabated coal, and I'm sure we'll get into that in a bit. So Europe's, if I turn now to affordability in Scotland, as I said, Europe's energy costs are twice those of the United States, mainly because of shale gas in the United States, but not only. Just to put it in pence and pounds, electricity in the United States is 8 pence per kilowatt hour. In the UK, it's 16, and in Scotland, it's 16 and a half. Gas, natural gas, is 2.4 pence per kilowatt hour in the United States, and it is 5.1 in the UK, and Scotland slightly better at 5p. About half of the average energy bill in the UK is not the energy itself. It's actually the fastest growing parts of the bill are transport and distribution and transmission costs and government levies. And I would take issue with Phil to some degree in that the government just can't afford to support and subsidise all of this at too fast a pace. The UK government has had to take action and reduce the amount spent on its renewable obligations and the levy control framework. It does mean that we're going to have a lower growth in onshore wind, and it does mean that there's going to be impacts in the solar industry in the UK. I actually support interventions which increase a focus on affordability, because my customers have to pay for it. And whenever the government puts the energy levies up, my customers, and I have 28 million customer accounts, I get it in the neck and they say we can't afford it. And I'm afraid, Phil, you can't have both. All these government levies which people pay for and cheap energy. If I then turn to my second message, so, I mean, if I finish on the first one, Scotland's got an enviable starting point, but we've got to manage our way forward in a very careful way. The second message is that Scotland's strong position as an oil and gas producer and exporter is threatened today, and we must improve the North Sea at low prices. Low oil and gas prices and high relative costs in a generally mature basin is threatening the viability of the North Sea today. In terms of oil prices, very briefly, Saudi Arabia is chasing market share. It thinks that the world should ultimately use more low-cost, high-margin barrels rather than more high-cost, low-margin barrels. And you can't really argue with that, but they're taking the war to the Americans and the Canadians and the Venezuelans and their financiers. And they're saying, listen, you better get real. If anyone's going to win in market share terms, then it's us. So that's Saudi Arabia driving prices down. I think they'll stay down for some time. So what are we going to have to do in the North Sea? Well, investment's being slashed. I think in 2017 it'll be a third of what it was in 2014. And it's very difficult to balance the books. About 50% of UK production today is underwater at $55 a barrel, and we're below that. And it's because we've got the highest costs, and in some of the highest costs in the world, which have trebled in the last 10 years. What have we got to do? Drive efficiency, drive production efficiency, reduce costs and capital costs. The problem is, can you reduce them fast enough at these prices? Share infrastructure, reduce taxation, which is a big issue for the government, and find more competitive sources of oil and gas. So a word on shale. Shale gas could be cheaper because it's onshore. Fracking is not a new technology. It's been around since 1940. I support fracking. It can be done safely, but it needs to be done safely and responsibly. The UK needs it. Centrica has been a leading participant in this. Scotland's shale gas, however, we don't have all that much of it. The central view is 80 trillion cubic feet in place. The Boland Shale in Lancashire has about 1,330 trillion cubic feet. So the Boland Shale is 16 times the scale of the Midland Valley in Scotland. We need to think about that. Nevertheless, we must find out whether or not it's economically viable. And I support the responsible appraisal and development of the UK shale gas resource. So finally then, on customers, and this is my third message. Oil companies and energy people are really good at counting barrels. What we're really bad at is counting demand. And there are some really exciting things going on in the demand and the use of energy. And what's happening is that the traditional grid system that used to have central generation and distribution is being slowly, or actually quite quickly, replaced by distributed energy systems. What for businesses, what this is allowing them to do is have distributed generation, have more control over small generation on their site, to use their backup generation to reduce their bills, to have more efficient heating and power systems, to optimize the system, and to contribute to the nation's demand at times of peak demand. And for consumers, microgeneration, combined heat and power units in your home, selling your electricity back to the grid, and having more control of your energy. This is where we're going. And I could see a world eventually where national grid, to some degree, is a subscription business. You just need to be part of it in case your own systems stop working, as opposed to be worrying about the central generation. And briefly, Centrica has installed 252,000 of these Hive thermostat controls in people's homes, and it's helping people use less energy because they understand how they're using energy. We are rolling out 15 million smart meters at the cost of £3 billion. We believe more data, more insight, and more ability to change your behavior because you understand your energy is actually going to help people have more efficient, more secure, lower carbon energy in future. That is a very exciting trend, and I think it's the one silver bullet we've got in all of this debate. It's energy efficiency, which Phil mentioned. Finally, a brief advertorial about Centrica in Scotland. Through Scottish Gas, we supply energy to 800,000 households. We have 1.3 million accounts in Scotland. We employ over 6,000 people in Scotland, 3,500 in Scottish Gas, the rest in Aberdeen. We have 500 apprentices in our system over the last 5 years, and obviously we're involved in nuclear and wind as well, although we are, for obvious reasons, exiting onshore wind going forward. We produce 5% of all of the oil and gas in the UK, so we're a big part of the UK energy system and that of Scotland. I don't think this whole debate is bleak, nor do I think we can't have answers, and I look forward to playing our part as we go on what I think we need to do, which is a series of pathways that are pragmatic. We've learned enough about energy in the last 20 years to know what we've got to do. We've now got to go there. Thank you.